Go and show those things the marks of Israel. This is part two. When Jesus was asked if he were the Messiah who was to come, or should they look for another, he replied, "Go and tell John the things I am doing." In other words, there were certain things that were to happen, and if he were doing those things, then that would indicate he was who he said he was. When the Pharisees asked him if he was the Christ, he told them that even though they did not believe his verbal statements that he was, they should see the works and believe the works, that they were from God. And when doubting Thomas said that he would not believe unless he saw the marks on the body of the resurrected Jesus, then Jesus showed him the marks and then commended him for seeing and believing. So I have transposed that down to today regarding the question as to who is the true Israel of God. If it is the Jews, their works will prove it, regardless of their verbal profession. And if it is the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Europe, America, South Africa, and Australia, then their works, the marks of Israel, will be upon them. So our problem is, what are the marks of Israel? What should we look for? As I mentioned last week, when John sent the questionnaire to Jesus, of course, he knew what the prophecies were. He knew what the Christ was supposed to be doing. So what we have been doing is reading the marks or prophecies or promises that were to be upon Israel in the end of the age and down through these last centuries, so that we, seeing all of these marks, understanding what Israel was to be doing from the Bible, then we can look out at the world and make our own decision. Are the Jews the ones doing what Israel was to do, or are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Europe doing what Israel was to do? Are the marks of Israel upon them? We began in Genesis, so turn back to Genesis 28. We had read through that far, and up to that point, of course, we've read from Father Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, who was the father of the 12 men who became the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. Last week we listed 17 marks which would be upon Abraham's descendants, and remember, some of them were not necessarily upon Israel, because Father Abraham has other descendants. He has descendants through Ishmael, and he has descendants through the sons of Keturah, and then of course later Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau sold the birthright, so Jacob was the inheritor, but Esau is still considered a seed of Abraham. Now, God willing, we'll review all of them later at the end of this study, and right now we'll just go right on searching for more marks that should be upon Israel. Genesis 28 is the story of Jacob's stone, and then we read beginning in verse 18, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto me." Now, this could possibly be another mark, the promise that Jacob made to God that he would tithe to God. I'm not going to list it as a mark because it is specifically regarding Jacob. Later we will discuss whether the possibility that the descendants of Jacob would be a tithing people or not, and then we might find out it is a mark. But for right now, we'll just read it here separately and not list it. In the next chapters, Jacob married, eventually had two wives and 12 sons. In Genesis 32, Jacob wrestled with God, or with an angel of God. And then verse 28, "And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So this could be a mark, we'll make that number 18, that Jacob had power with God and with men. In Genesis 35, the name is reaffirmed by God Almighty. Verse 9, "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." So here are two new marks given to Jacob by God Almighty. Number 19, his descendants would be a nation and a company of nations, and also his descendants would be kings or rulers over those nations. In Genesis 48 and 49, before I read any more of this, I should make the remark for the benefit of those who were not here last time. Part of the problem in recognizing or verifying who is Israel in the world today is that most of the churchgoers in Christendom know little or nothing of the Old Testament. They don't even know what to look for. They do not know what kind of a people Israel was to be. They do not know what Israel was to do, and they do not even know what God promised Israel. So it's hard for them to identify, at least using their own information. Instead, they usually depend upon other people for the identification of Israel. In Genesis 48 and 49, we have some pertaining to each tribe in particular, and I'll mention just two of them because they have a bearing on identifying the whole house of Israel in the world today. In Genesis 48, Israel adopted Joseph's sons as his firstborn, making them inheritors of the birthright. Verse 3, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Verse 5, "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." Reuben and Simeon were the first two sons born to Jacob. Now he has made Joseph's sons the firstborn in Israel. Verse 15, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lands, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So Israel's promises of great numbers of people, the multiplying of his seed, were passed on primarily to Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. In Genesis 49, each son is blessed or prophesied over. Verse 1, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." So here are specific prophecies for each son or tribe for the last days. Again, we'll use only two of them because they will be the major marks in finding them in the earth today. Judah, verse 8 through 10, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter," and this is the ruling symbol, "the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So there are two easily defined marks there regarding Judah, one tribe in Israel, which would provide the rulers for the rest of the tribes. In other words, the rest would bow down to Judah. In the last part of verse 10, "unto him shall the gathering of the people be," that word gathering actually means obedience. Unto him shall the obedience of the people be. So I believe it in effect says that Judah would have something to do with the obedience of Israel, and again, remember, in the last days. Joseph is prophesied over, beginning in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. So Joseph's descendants, and this would be mark number 23, primarily on Joseph, to be blessed above the rest of the Israel people. This is verified in Deuteronomy 33, where Moses again blesses each of the tribes. Joseph's blessing begins in verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Now, I believe we can add two more marks here, which are part of the one mark of greater blessings to Joseph than to the rest of the tribes, and that would be number 24, the descendants of Joseph would have a land blessed of God in great agricultural wealth, and number 25, they would also have wealth from the earth, minerals, and so on, the chief things of the ancient mountains and the precious things of the lasting hills. That Joseph, or perhaps I should say Joseph's descendants, did inherit as the firstborn, and that Judah was to provide rulers in Israel is also verified in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. This is, as you know, a listing of all of the tribes and then the descendants up to the time this was written. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, and then parentheses, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. That's what we read when Jacob adopted Joseph's sons as the firstborn. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. So you have a division of the promises of God between Judah and Joseph. Joseph would receive the greater blessings, but the rulership would be in the tribe of Judah or following the Judah line. By the way, we distribute a book on that, several hundred pages, titled Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. If you've never read it, you should read it. It shows how that specific prophecy is fulfilled in this end of the age. Next comes a most important mark upon the Israel people. That would be number 26. Israel was given God's laws. Israel was given the Ten Commandments, and then, of course, the statutes and the judgments. Now, I won't take time to read all of this. You should read all of chapters 19 through 24 of Genesis, which is, of course, the covenant given to Israel at Mount Sinai. Then in Deuteronomy 33, speaking of the law which was given to Israel at Sinai, we read this, verse 4, Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. Then if you will turn to Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20, David is writing about God's word, and he concludes the psalm this way. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So God's laws were not given to anyone except the Israel people. And we'll list that as mark number 26. Israel to be in possession of God's laws. And that alone adds two more marks in relation to what the law would or would not do to the Israel people. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Here again, you should read the entire chapter. I'll read enough to make the point for the two marks. Deuteronomy 28, Moses speaking to Israel, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then follows a number of verses telling Israel in what manner they would be blessed by obeying these laws which have been given to them. So mark number 27 would be looking for a people blessed when they obey God's laws. The other side of the coin begins in verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field," and so on. And then follows about 45 verses describing in detail the specific curses that would come upon Israel when they did not obey his law. So, mark number 28 would be they would be a people cursed by God for disobedience, or when they are in disobedience to his law. Now in that chapter alone, and in Leviticus 27, or Leviticus 26, you would find another 20 or 30 marks by reading the specific blessings and the specific curses. I'll not read them. You can do that yourself. All of them would come upon Israel and would serve to identify Israel as the people being dealt with by God in a certain manner. That God deals only with Israel in that manner is given to us in the prophet Amos, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." I'm reading that just as a verification that whenever Israel or the people who are Israel are in sin and disobedience to God's laws, statutes, and judgments, God will specifically punish them for it. So it certainly should be an identifying mark of Israel. Turn to Isaiah 41. Israel was prophesied to be God's servant. Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." Now, you may think that just showed up in the prophet, but that was actually done by God Almighty way back in Egypt when he sent Moses to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they may serve me." So mark number 29, Israel would be the servants of God. Israel was also to be God's witnesses in the earth. Isaiah 43, verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Verse 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Now, a witness in a legal case is a person who testifies to some truth. So Israel was to be the people who would testify that God is God. They are God's witnesses in the earth. Mark number 30. Israel was to have a new covenant. Turn to Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now that is repeated in Ezekiel 36, and also in Hebrews 8:8, and it is known generally in Christendom as the New Covenant. Millions of people claim it, but remember, God said, I will make it with Israel and with Judah. Now, as the old Abrahamic covenant was sealed with circumcision, remember last week that was Mark number 11, that Israel would be circumcised, so the new covenant is sealed with circumcision of the heart, and that's in Romans 2 and also in Galatians. I'm not going to read that in order to save time, but I'll read in the Old Testament because most of the people who are churchgoers today do not know that God provided spiritual or heart circumcision to Israel way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 in verse 6. God is prophesying through Moses to Israel, and he says this, And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So way back when God brought Israel out of Egypt, he promised they would be the people who would come under the new covenant with circumcision of the heart and not of the flesh. So Mark number 31, Israel would be the people under the new covenant with circumcision of the heart. Israel was to lose her old name. Turn to Isaiah 62 and verse 2. God is speaking here through the prophet to Israel. And the Gentiles, or the nations, shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Then in Isaiah 65, God is here speaking in rebuke to the enemies of Israel, and then he says to those enemies of Israel in verse 15, And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. So Mark number 32 would be, and this is a startling one for most of Christendom who do not know the Old Testament, was that Israel would not be called Israel in the last days. They would lose their name. Now they were also to be given another name. They were to be called by God's name. So turn back to number 6. Again, as you realize, all of these were given way back near the time Israel came out of Egypt, and of course before, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is number 6. It's usually known as the Israel blessing. And you've heard it quoted, I'm sure, or read in many churches. Number 6, 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. And then here is what is called the Israel blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I'm sure all of you have heard that read or quoted in scores of churches and or Bible conferences, but they hardly ever read the next verse, the end of it. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So Mark number 33, Israel was to be named by the name of God. Now there are scores more of these in the Bible, and I won't take time to read them because it would take a blind man not to be able to identify Israel in the earth today with 33 specific identifying marks. Police often find criminals with only a two or three. Certainly, you intelligent people can find Israel by reading and studying these 33 marks. Now I'm going to ask you to play somewhat of a game in order to do this. You're to put aside everything that you know personally for the moment. Visualize yourself as a space traveler. You've just come from another planet. You've landed on the planet Earth, and you are asked to be a judge or a disinterested third party to settle a controversy. Who are the Israel people? Are they the people who call themselves Jews, or are they the people called the Anglo-Saxons, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Christendom? And you are given this book called the Bible. You've never seen it before, but you're given this book, and you're given access to any library you want to go to read about the history of the world. And of course, being super intelligent, because I think most of you know that these creatures from outer space are always much more intelligent than earthlings, you can read and digest this Bible in a matter of minutes, whereas we earthlings take all of our life and still don't understand much of it, right? But anyway, you can understand generally the Bible story. And remember, you're looking for evidence to then go out here in the earth and identify the Israel people. So you study the Bible and you study history. So now I am going to go back over these 33 marks. And at this point, really, all I am going to do is to read them. I am not going to comment on them. I'm just going to read them generally. Then for those who cannot react in the manner of these intelligent super beings from outer space, I am going to preach two additional sermons going through the 33 marks and discussing them in the light of the Bible and of history. But for right now, I just want to read them. And as I read them, you think and ponder on what you know of the Bible and what you know of past world history and the current world history, seeking the answer to the question, who has these marks? Upon whom is all of this happening that we've read in here? Is it the people called Jews, or is it the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples? I won't give the scripture references because you are supposed to go back and listen to the tapes over again, but I'll just list them, beginning with number one. They were to be a great nation, to be blessed of God. They were to be a blessing to other families, in other words, to the other races of the earth. Other people were to be blessed or cursed by God, depending on their attitude toward Abraham and or possibly his descendants, the Israel people. They were to be a great multitude of people. I read this as one mark, but you remember, it was given in about six or seven different places each time, a great multitude of people. They were to be captives in Egypt and then delivered. They were to be given a great land area in the Middle East. They were to be many nations. That's eight of them. Number nine, the God of the Bible was to be the God of Abraham's descendants. Number 10, the land of Canaan was theirs for an everlasting possession. Number 11, the mark of circumcision was given to them. Now I'll insert one comment here in that all of these were given before Abram's name was changed and before he had other than Ishmael as his seed. So these first marks could be on any of Abraham's descendants. They should be on Israel, and then the rest of these, as we go on, would be only upon Israel, not upon the descendants of Ishmael, not upon the descendants of Keturah, not upon the descendants of Esau. All right, number 12, they were to keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. They would be a people who would seek to do God's will. Number 13, to possess the gates of their enemies. Number 14, to have great agricultural harvests. Number 15, they would rule over other peoples. Number 16, and these are all from last week, so you folks who were here, not here last week, these are not familiar to you. Number 16, they were to spread abroad from the ancient land of Palestine to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. Number 17, they were to come again into Canaan land. And this one was made in relation to Jacob's seed going into Egypt and then coming out again. They promised that they would come back to Canaan land. Now, that was all on the first tape, and now I'll read those that were listed in today's sermon. Number 18, Jacob's descendants would have power with God and with men. Number 19, they were to be a nation and a company of nations. Number 20, their descendants were to be kings or rulers over nations. Number 21, specifically, out of Judah would come the rulers of Israel. Number 22, Judah would have something to do with the obedience of Israel in the last days. And of course, I can't pass up those last two without making at least two comments on that, that some of the listeners to this tape may not know that those who preach that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and Scandinavian and kindred peoples are these descendants of Israel, most of them also teach that the German people are the descendants of Judah and also the people of Scotland. So when you think of these specific prophecies of Judah, number 21 here, out of Judah would come the rulers over the rest of Israel, and number 22, Judah would have something to do with the obedience of Israel in the last days. You think of that teaching that this would be the German people if you finally decide that the Anglo-Saxons and Scandinavians and Germans are Israelites, all right? Number 23, Joseph's descendants were to be blessed above the rest of the Israelites. So there would be a specific portion of Israel coming under the prophecies of Joseph who would have wealth in excess of that of the other nations that would come out of the loins of Abraham. Number 24, these descendants of Joseph were to have a land blessed by God with great agricultural wealth. Number 25, Joseph's descendants would also have the wealth of the land in minerals and other things of the ancient mountains and the lasting hills. Number 26, Israel, given and to be in possession of God's laws, which led to the next two. Number 27, Israel would be a people blessed by God above all people upon the face of the earth when they were in obedience to God's laws. But Mark number 27, Israel would then be a people cursed or brought under judgment for disobedience to God's laws. Number 29, they were to be God's servants, a people serving God. Number 30, they were to be God's witnesses. They would proclaim God to all the ends of the earth, to the other nations. Number 31, these descendants of Jacob called Israel were to come under a new covenant, which would be sealed by heart circumcision. Number 32, strangely, they were not to be known by the name Israel. And number 33, in answer to that one, they were to be instead called by the name of God. God's name was to be named upon the children of Israel. All right, I suggest that you go over all of those again, if you must, either by listening to my enumeration of them, and or go back and listen to the entire first and second side of the tape, and then make your own decision upon which people are fulfilled these marks, these specific prophecies and marks given in the Bible that would come upon or happen to the descendants of Jacob Israel in the end of this age or in the last days. Primarily, of course, the time between the first and the second coming of Christ. Now, God willing, I will do two more sermons for those who have listened to these two and have mulled it over in their minds and cannot arrive at a conclusion. I will then do two more and will go through every one of the 33 marks and will compare it to other parts of the Scripture and will go over history. As I said at the beginning, The major problem of finding the identity of Israel in the world today is that our people, generally speaking, are ignorant of what Israel was to do, and secondly, to a great extent, they are also ignorant of world history. So I'll give you a lesson in world history connected to the 33 marks of Israel for those who cannot decide with just these two sermons. But you listen to them again if you have to. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you that thou hast given us this word, this Bible, that we may follow and learn and know the things that thou wouldest have us to know. Father, we pray for a great opening of the eyes of our people, that they may see that thou art a covenant-keeping God, that you have promised to Israel certain things, you have prophesied that certain things would come to pass, and they have. You have kept your word with Israel, one of the greatest and most glorious truths that thy people can know. Father, we pray thy blessing upon all these words that were spoken. We ask that you help people see this aright, to make it a blessing to them as they come to thee for thy truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.